Hi, and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, spirit-led church based in Sydney, Sutherland Shire. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you. And on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonholm, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
You know, I really felt impressed on my heart this morning to talk about an area that really runs through the breadth of Scripture and certainly something that I've seen working in my own life as a real theme, actually, and that is the power of words. And I really feel that many people here received a breakthrough from God at conference, whether it was in the area of healing or a Scripture that God really ministered to your heart, or there was fresh hope injected into your life, or an area that God highlighted for you to grow in. And one of the things that can happen is we can come out of an experience like that and go, well, that was then, and I sensed God's presence then, and that was concentrated. But the Christian life, walking with Jesus Christ, is so much more than just a moment or just an event. It's actually a day-by-day transformation. And I even think there's people here that you are believing God for a breakthrough at conference, and maybe what you expected didn't happen in the way that you expected it to happen. Can I encourage you this morning that so much of transformation, so much of breakthrough, so much of growth and healing and having our minds renewed in Christ is walking with Him day by day in prayer, sensing His presence in His Word. But a real key area is in this whole area of our mouths. It is, you, I think, would be shocked at how much creative power you actually have in your mouth. You know, you may not see yourself as a creative person. I know a couple of intensely creative people. Kelly Weitz, for example, is one of the most creative people I know, and she is actually having great miracles in her life. I'm not going to spread her news, but there's some great stuff happening in the area of her creativity and what God is doing to elevate the gift of God upon her life. And I know that there are so many that would call themselves creative, but others of us don't realize that every single human being is endowed and given this gift by God of creative power, and it's about what we speak. And so this morning, I actually want to speak to that, and I want to stir faith in you that God has something for you in this whole area that has creative power to change the world that you live in, to change your immediate world, to have impact on other people, to actually change the nature of the atmosphere around you. It can change the atmosphere in the home. It can actually build an atmosphere for children to flourish. It can change the nature of our communities. And so I want to speak to this morning. I'm very, very passionate about this area because I've seen God bring healing to my life through this area. I've seen God transform me and circumstances through getting a hold of what God says in this whole area of speech, the tongue, words, and the things that we meditate on when it comes to speech and language and speaking forth declaration. So I'm going to read you from Genesis 1 today, and I'm actually going to jump through. And for the sake of time, I've actually cut bits out, okay? And I'll be really clear about what I'm reading this morning so that you can see where I've taken bits out for the sake of emphasis. So we're looking at Genesis 1. And if you didn't bring your Bible this morning, that's going to be up on the screen. I tend to use NIV. It's kind of it's the version I grew up with. It's kind of my preferred. You become acquainted, don't you, with a version that you're familiar with. So I'm going to use NIV this morning for most of my scriptures. So it says, in the beginning, God created. Wow. Could you just stop there? God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Now we're going to jump to verse 6. And God said, let there be a vault between the waters to separate the water from water. Now we're going to jump to verse 9. And God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place and let dry ground appear. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation and seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it according to their various kinds. So he speaks into existence a creative process. Verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night. He's bringing order, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years, and let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light to the earth. So he's creating time in that. Verse 20, and God said, let the water teem with living creatures and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky. Verse 22, God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water and the seas and let the birds increase on the earth. And God said, verse 24, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind. Then we're going to jump to verse 26, and it reaches a crescendo. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. Wow, it is profound. So that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So he's giving authority and giving dominion over these things. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. And with the whole of creation from beginning to end came into existence with God's spoken word. You know, this creative account of creation, the creation story, and it is in poetic form. But no matter what, the principle remains. God is the author of creation and he spoke and it was so. And he speaks everything into existence just by the decree of his mouth, the declaration of his mouth, and not just in its fully developed form, but he actually speaks into existence processes that will produce life, seeds and processes and right order in his creation. It's absolutely amazing. And then he comes to the crescendo, the pinnacle of his creation. And that is you and me. It's profound just in this first chapter or two of the Bible that we see we are not equal with the rest of creation. We are not just a formulation of cells. We are not just another animal to walk the earth. Although God finds animals and plants and creation precious, it's not to diminish that. He blesses it, in fact. But you are his pinnacle. You're made in his image. You bear his image and his likeness. It says not only do you bear his image in your nature, but you look like God, you feel like God, you carry him in your maleness and your femaleness. There is things about you that point and reflect to the Creator God. It's incredible. And he gives you authority. I just think this is incredible that actually in this creation story, no other creation, no other part of creation is given authority, is given that creative power to actually bring order, to be a co-creator with God, so to speak. He gives that to us. And no other piece of creation, no other object or being in creation bears that gift of God of creative speech. You are the only one. Did you know this? You are the only one in all of creation. There is not an animal or a plant or another part of creation like you that is given authority and dominion and co-creatorship with God or given the gift of speech. Given the gift, they can make sounds, they can communicate in some ways, but you, by your Father God, by your Creator God, are given the power of creative speech. You know, God gives speech and declaration so much creative power. You know, just a chapter later, he gives Adam the task of naming the animals. Adam speaks out, you're going to be called a giraffe. You're going to be called a hippopotamus. You're going to be called a cow. You're going to be called, you know, he goes through and names the creation. God endows him with so much co-creative power and dominion that he's given the task of calling out the animals' names. You know, the prophets through the Old Testament and into the New under a new covenant, we declare the purposes of God. You know, Tim alluded to false prophets and true prophets and so forth, but really, he gives us the power to declare the purposes of God before they happen. Who's ever received a prophetic word? How much power does that thing have to encourage and build up? And usually it's about something that has not yet happened, that you pray out, that you wage war with. It's got a declarative power to actually enact the purposes of God. You know, Jesus, as he modeled what it is to live fully human and fully God in the world, he lived this perfectly human life and showed us how it's done, really. You know, the work of the cross and the resurrection was really one dimension and the primary dimension of Jesus' ministry. But there was a part of it that was actually showing us this is actually how you do life as a human under the new covenant. This is how you walk among people. This is how you actually occupy on the earth. And he would send healing with his very speech, right? Even at a distance, you know, go, she's healed. It's incredible. He would curse a fig tree that was not bearing fruit just with his mouth and come back and find it withered. He would calm a storm with his words. Isn't that amazing? And I really sense this morning as we were singing and declaring those words, you know, there's people that you're in a storm at the moment. And you need to know that the word of Jesus over you today is that he is above your storm and he lifts you above your storm today. You know, all of those things. And this morning I want to look at what God has put literally in your mouth to declare and frame the world that you live in and to actually influence the world of those that intersect with our lives, because our words have power to frame worlds over other people as well. And so this morning I want to look at that. I want to look at the fact that words are actually seeds. They're a living thing that we send out. You know, in the Word of God, it talks about God's Word coming out from his mouth and accomplishing that with which it was sent. And the original word is his sperma, his seed, going out and accomplishing and conceiving and actually bringing forth life. Do you know that God has given you that same power? That you can speak, that your words are like a seed to prophesy life over your children, to speak life over your destiny, to declare and decree things over the earth and over your community. You know, with words, we actually give permission with what goes on in our home. We give permission to frame the nature of the atmosphere in our homes, don't we? Just with our words being sent out as seeds. And it is the primary way, can I say, that we enact the authority that God has given us as those that are made in his image. It's the primary way that God has given you to actually bring the authority and dominion of the kingdom of God on the earth. You know, in our era that we're living in, I don't think there has ever been as many platforms for the spoken word and declarations as there has in our generation. Through film, through FaceTime, through movies, through social media, the digital age has opened up a whole lot of platforms that didn't previously exist for the word to go out. And can I just say, firstly, I think that's a tremendous opportunity. Isn't it amazing that I can be just on social media with a friend living in Townsville and speak a word of encouragement to her, and she goes, "You have no idea how much I needed to hear that this week." I'm like, I just felt on my heart this scripture for you, this thought for you. Isn't it amazing that the digital age has opened up for us this whole gamut of opportunity to actually speak out the word of God? But I, you know, with that, I've got to say, never has there been so much confusion over the power of words. Like, you know, literally, Jesus says, we'll be held accountable for every careless word spoken. And I feel like our generation, one of the markings of our era is a confusion around the power of the spoken word, the power of what we put forth in writing and speech and so forth. And I just really feel like as the people of God, we have a real opportunity here to bring the kingdom of God through what we speak. You know, I think our culture has minimal understanding of its power, and yet God has endowed speech and speaking life with so much power. You know, I think it's so intriguing that before Israel took Jericho, he made them march around six times silently. It's almost like God saying, if you say a thing while you're marching around this thing, you're going to speak death over it. Those walls won't fall down. You know, you need transformation. You need to march around this thing and allow the Spirit of God to transform you before you say a word. And then on the seventh day, of course, they declare a victory cry into the heavenlies and the walls come down. Such is the power of speech. It's like, shut up, guys, for 6 days. And let me renew your mind and your heart before you say a word. You know, it's so intriguing that in the New Testament, when John the Baptist was conceived in his mother Elizabeth's womb, he was the one that was the forerunner to Jesus Christ. You know, his father, who was a good man, he wasn't a bad man. Zechariah and Elizabeth were good people. The Bible is very clear about that, so we don't interpret it that they're barren because they're baddies, or he's faithless, therefore he's bad. But God shut his mouth through the whole pregnancy. Such is the power of words. It's like, mate, if you have the capacity to speak, you're going to kill the seed of what I'm trying to do here, right? You know, such is the power of words and speech that the first encounter that the New Testament church had with the Holy Spirit was evidenced with the speaking of tongues, new tongues, you know, the declaring forth heaven's language. There is a God-given power that comes from your mouth that will have an impact on your life, that will have an impact on your world, that will have an impact on your family and the raising of your children. It will shape destiny, shape atmospheres. And I want to say this morning to empower you, equip you and encourage you, you have more creative power than what you realize. You have much more creative power than what you realize. And I also feel like God wants to bring down a veil this morning and for people that have been declaring things over situations. You know, and you're discouraged. Why am I not seeing breakthrough? Can I just say, if God could lift the veil and show you what's actually happening as you're declaring life, as you're declaring His goodness over your life and over that situation, if God could show you what's happening, because His word is always at work. He's always at work for your good and your redemption. And I want to encourage you this morning, keep speaking life. Because God is moving. So I want to look at three things this morning, because all preachers, except for Tim last week, who had 4 and 7 points, which really was like game on. And I'm like, nah, I love working with Tim. You can have your 4 and 7. I'm sticking with my 3. Is that all right? Because we'll never get through here. Let's start with number one, speaking from right agreement. Speaking from right agreement. You know, what we say is largely connected to what we believe, right? What we speak out, you know, if you really want to know what you believe, catch yourself talking when you're not thinking about it too much. You know, I have definitely caught myself in response to things going, you're an idiot. Like, what on earth? What do I believe about myself here that I'm making that confession? What we say is largely connected to what we believe, and what we believe is really a series of things that we've come into agreement with. Isn't that incredible? Matthew 12, verse 34 in the second part says, "The mouth speaks what the heart is full of." So you're speaking out what you believe, which is really what you've come into agreement with. You know, when I fell in love with Andrew and we dated and our life grew together and this whole process took place, and it took place in our late 30s, and it was the biggest blessing of God, this unexpected miracle at that time in my life of meeting this wonderful man of God who actually knew in my childhood. Go figure. I'm like, where were you in my teens and 20s? He goes, "You wouldn't have liked me then, babe. I was using a hair straightener and I had blonde tips." We'll delete that from the podcast. He gets scared every time I come up. He's like, "What are you going to say, woman?" No. he wouldn't have liked me is the truth. He's always been incredible. When we grew in love and it deepened and we decided that this is forever, he asked me to marry him on top of a lighthouse and it was really exciting. And I'm not even going to go into it today because my time is running over. We made an agreement in our hearts that, yes, this is forever. I actually remember the day he asked me to marry him, I'm like, yes, this means we're going to be a family. It was like a revelation to me that we are about to start a family. Like, a new family is born the day we get married. And we made vows. We spoke out what we had believed in our heart, come into agreement with, and we sealed it with a declaration in front of our community that we're coming into lifelong covenant here. You know, when you say yes to Jesus Christ, and there may be some today that do that, where you've been on a spiritual search and you want to say yes to the promise of life in Jesus Christ, really that begins too with a declaration. We come into agreement. We may not know a lot about it and you discover it as it goes on, but we come into an agreement that says, I say yes to what you're offering, God. And it says in Romans that we confess with our mouth and believe with our heart. Our declarations are very connected to what we believe. And as we move on in our discipleship, we realize that as we come into agreement with what God says, and it's a real journey of discovery. And I'm 42 years old and I am still and will still be till the day I die discovering what God says about me and coming into agreement with him in various areas and therefore speaking it out. You know, it's not just that discovery, and it releases power, by the way. When you come into agreement with something, there is a power released in it that changes the nature of life. But it's not just coming into agreement with God, it's with each other, because it says, Matthew 18:19, again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. That is some power there, isn't it? You're like, whoa, God, that is too much power for me to contain and hold as a believer, but it's given to you that if you come into agreement with another believer, problem is it works in the negative too. You know, Babel, really, the Tower of Babel was an exercise in agreement. They came into agreement. We will build this thing and we don't need God. We will actually reach him ourselves. And God's like, you know what? They will be able to do it because they're in agreement. And so I'm going to scatter speech. And so the agreement can actually be divided. You know, I was a teacher before I was a pastor, and I'll never forget the negativity that would go on in some of the staff rooms where teachers would come into agreement around certain students, and it would literally change the atmosphere around that student. Expectations would drop, gossip would get around, and they'd come into agreement about that child's situation at school, and it would change things very negatively. Do you know, as believers, we can come into agreement with all sorts of negative things too, entering into gossip, literally agreeing with negative words internally that have been spoken over us, self-talk that's in agreement with really not God's word, but what someone said a long time ago, or the way they looked at me, or what I think, or even, dare I say, the whispers of the enemy over your life, or thoughts that they sound like your thoughts. But really, it's actually aligning and coming into agreement with a power that's not God's, an idea that's not God's. I want to ask you this morning, what are you feeding on that you're coming into agreement with? What have you come into agreement with? Is there something that you've come into an agreement with, maybe a discussion with a friend that's just not right, that's just not the words of God for the situation? Maybe you've come into agreement with something that was said over you so many years ago. You know, I was in New Zealand on a break when I was a single girl, and I was just driving down to Rotorua, a really beautiful countryside, so refreshing. I so needed the break. And I remember the Holy Spirit on this holiday just saying to me, it was so clear, the message of God at this time in my life was, you've come into agreement in your thought life with some things about yourself that are going to really limit your destiny. You've come into agreement that you're not as valuable as I see you being. You think that you're not a good speaker. You think that you're not good at doing X, Y, and Z. You think that you'll never have this. But I want to actually change that, because that coming into agreement with that type of thinking will actually be like bramble bushes in your life. And I want fertile, he spoke to me out of Isaiah, I want fertile living trees in your life. And you need to come out of agreement. In order to release life in our declaration, in our speech, we need to agree with what God says. We actually need to make a choice to come into agreement with what God says. And dare I say, we need to know what he does say, so we can rehearse it. So what we rehearse in our mind, the stories that we're telling, are the goodness of God, what he says in his word about you, what he's highlighting in your quiet times to you. We need to know, we need to come into agreement with what God says, and we need to agree with the right people. We actually need to agree with the right people. You know, I absolutely love when I'm really believing for something, bringing friends of faith around me and saying, would you stand with me in agreement for this family member's salvation? Would you stand with me in agreement that this God would affect this healing? Would you stand with me in agreement that I would find breakthrough as I walk through anxiety and depression and into freedom in my life? Can I just say too, I really feel to say this, married couples, there is a power base of agreement available, readily available. One of the gifts of marriage is the ability to have this power base of agreement together. You know, Andrew and I had this revelation in the last couple of weeks that, you know what, there are certain things that we are believing for our children. There are certain things that we want in our family culture. There are certain things that we're believing for our future together, that we'd be used by God in a certain way, that we would find health and life in certain areas. And literally we've gone, we need to actually itemize these and come into agreement together, because the word of God says that if two or more stand in agreement together and ask for anything in my name, I'll give it to them. And we're like, you know what? We need to apply the word of God. If you're married, now you can do this as a single and come into agreement with faithful friends, but I just want to encourage those that are married today, come into agreement. There is a power base in marriage that is part of God's plan and design for marriage. Come into agreement. And then finally, you need to sever agreements that you've made that produce death. You know what? Some of you actually need to consciously disagree with a thought. You know, literally, wow, my dad said that about me. I'm actually making a choice today to come into disagreement with that thought. I'm actually severing that agreement. That gossip that me and my friend had about that leader, that situation, I actually need to make a conscious choice of repenting, which literally is change your mind, turn around, sever it, disagree with it, because you can't speak life out of that place, because agreements have power. This morning, you can begin releasing power into your life simply by coming into right agreement. Secondly, speak to prophesy life. So speak out of the right agreements, speak to prophesy life. You know, there's a power in the words we speak to shape atmospheres. If you don't believe me, have a few toddlers around you and a bad day, and you as the mum can shape the atmosphere in that home, and they detect it. They pick up on it like that, and literally they will behave according to the atmosphere that you set in the home. And sometimes they set the atmosphere. God created, not by waving his hand, not by forming, not by any other means other than speaking. He spoke life into existence. He breathed into man and woman to bring about life. He spoke into existence. And God sets in motion this declaration and decreeing and speaking as one of the ways that we enact the authority that he's given us. And I'm not talking about a warped kind of dominating authority. I'm talking about godly order, authority, having dominion, bringing life and leadership to the earth. And speaking is actually one of the ways that he's caused us to enact that. Now, can I just say to you this morning, you are prophesying one way or another at all times. Even if you don't have a revelation yet about prophesying life, you're prophesying, I'll never get married. I'll never find a job. It's just too hard. I'm just never gonna find a house. Sydney market is impossible. It's impossible. Can you believe that you're prophesying? Trust me. But God's given you the power to prophesy life. Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You know, the Bible is so clear that the same mouth that has the power to heal, strengthen, encourage, edify, build up, create, also has the same power to tear down, destroy, damage, speak death. Literally, it initiates an activity when you speak. And Ephesians 4:29 says, do not let any unwholesome, and another version says corrupt, which I really like. It's corrupted talk. Something that's corrupted is something that's not being used for its original purpose. Your mouth was ordained by God to speak life. You can corrupt it. Talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that they may benefit. It may benefit those who listen. Can I even say words transcend location? I want to show you something here, and it's regarding leaders, but you can apply it in other contexts. Ecclesiastes 10:20 says, don't badmouth your leaders, not even under your breath, and don't abuse your betters, even in the privacy of your own home. Loose talk has a way of getting picked up and spread around. Little birds drop the crumbs of your gossip far and wide. Do you know speech transcends location? It says in Luke 12:3, what you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you've whispered in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the housetops. Can I say we need to prophesy life? We need to use our God-given mouth, our God-given power of agreement, our God-given faculties to prophesy life, and know that this mouth has power to initiate activity in the life of a person, a community, even at a distance. Can you believe that? Don't remain silent. You know, it says, he that knows the good to do and doesn't do it sins. Isn't that incredible that when we remain silent and actually make a decision, I refuse to speak up. I'm not even going to go there. You know, not because you're led by the Spirit of God, but because you're too yeller, you know, you're too afraid. It's like, speak up, speak life. Creative power exists for you to take a hold of, and you can create atmospheres for other people to flourish. Can I say your greatest miracle right now could be right there in your mouth. Your greatest miracle of a turnaround of the atmosphere in your home could be what you're speaking over your children, what you say first thing in the morning to your spouse, what you say when you walk into the door at night, the life you speak. Can I encourage you this morning, speak life, speak to prophesy life. And Jones, I might get you to come up at this point. That would be amazing. So amazing. Finally, speak from a discipled heart and mouth. Speak from a discipled heart or mouth. You know, you are actually not at the mercy of your tongue. Isn't that an incredible thought? You know, Isaiah, and Tim alluded to Isaiah this morning. We've been reading through it with our Bible reading plan. I love Isaiah 50 verse 4 where it says, the Lord has given me an instructed tongue. It's an instructed tongue. It's a discipled tongue. You know, morning by morning I wake up and I'm like one who listens. I hear what he's saying and then my tongue is instructed. So what comes out of my mouth in terms of creative power is God's words, not mine. It's a disciple tongue. James 3 speaks of the tongue as a rudder and a bridle. Powerful things about the direction of a horse or a boat, and it's analogous to your life, that what you speak brings direction to your life. But can I just say, a bridle and a rudder are not the captain. A bridle and a bridle is held by the rider, and the rudder is steered by the captain of the ship. and your captain, the captain of your life, is not your tongue. Your tongue must be instructed. It must be under direction from your mind and your spirit, which is why it's so important that you are in communion, as Con said, with the Lord, that you're being transformed in your spirit, that your mind is being renewed by the word of God, so that your rudder and your bridle aren't the captain. You're the captain. Jesus is transforming you, and you get to make the decision about the direction, that rudder in your mouth, the direction that it brings to your life. The rudder's not the captain. You know, the story of the walk of faith, the story of being a believer, and I thank God for this, because if it was just down to miracle moments, and I believe in them, if it was just down to instant breakthroughs, and I believe in them too, I've experienced them. But really, the whole Christian life is one of discipleship, of journeying with Him, of being transformed moment by moment. And thank God for that, because literally it's in the looking back that I see the transformation of God over a 20, 30 year period. Amazing moments. But it says in Matthew 12, 35 to 37, a good man, a good person brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word that they've spoken, for by your words you'll be acquitted and by your words you'll be condemned. You know, God wants to, in the discipleship journey, transform you and put good things in the storehouse of your life. To tuck that scripture away, it says to hide God's word in our heart that we may not sin against Him. You know, He wants to tuck away. I was even sitting with my son out the front of the school that we want to send him to, and we're looking at a tree. You all know which school it is now, right? And I was telling him about the tree, and I said, Ollie, that tree is a picture of Psalm 1, where it says that if you walk with God, if you live life with Him, you'll be like that flourishing tree, always bringing forth in and out of season. The leaf won't wither. It's going to be a flourishing tree. And so we're teaching about flourishing trees, Psalm 1. That's your life, the discipleship journey, that He puts good things in the storehouse of your life. You know, this morning, you know, maybe it's areas of your life that God has been prompting you to begin to speak life over an area. You know, maybe you've just resigned yourself to the fact that that'll never change, that I could never do that. And God's saying, no, you need to speak life over that son or a daughter. Maybe you've got a son or a daughter that are away from the Lord right now, and you're like, I just cannot see how it could ever change. What if you just began speaking life? I just thank you, Jesus, that right now I declare that even as they're overseas, even in the privacy of their own, even as they sleep, would you visit them? Would you speak to their heart? Would you send Christian friends around them, God? I declare that you're reaching that person. Maybe there's that marital situation and you're like, I just cannot see how God could ever melt that person's heart. Can I encourage you, begin to speak life, speak life, speak life, speak life, prophesy, prophesy over that situation. Maybe it's something that you need to come into agreement with. God, I've been for too long out of agreement with you. Yes, my mind gives mental assent to that, but deep in my heart, I know I don't really believe that. God, I need to make a choice this morning to come into agreement with what you say in your word about that thing, and watch the life of God flow as I rightly align with you in that area. You know, we're going to stand up right now, and I want the worship band to come. It's very 80s, the worship band. Worship team to come. And what we're going to do right now as they come is I just want you to lift your hands, close your eyes, and we're just going to take one moment. Our service is coming to an end very, very, very shortly. But I do want you to take one moment for the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Why don't you ask Him in the depths of your heart, God, what would you have me speak life over today? What do I need to come out of agreement with and into a new agreement with you, God? What do I need to begin prophesying over, God? What have I become weary and disappointed over that I just need the life of God to flow, and therefore I will speak life over that area? And right now, the worship team is just going to begin to play, and we're not going to sing in this moment, right? I just want you to begin to speak. Open your mouth, whisper, speak over that area. Declare the goodness of God. Thank you, God. We just declare life in this place, God. We just begin to declare life in this place, God. We begin to declare life over that child in Jesus' name that is away from you. We just begin to declare healing power, God, over that area of our life, Lord God, that is sick, God. We just begin to, I just begin to declare life over minds, God, that feel like they've got a dark cloud, God, of depression. I speak life right now in Jesus' name. And God, we come out of agreement with negative self-talk, God. We just ask that the life of God would flow into that area, that we would say the words of Jesus over our lives, God. That we would say the words of Jesus. Would you begin to speak out? Speak out. Speak life. Speak out. Speak out over that area today. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. God, for every single person here, I pray right now a fresh revelation, God, that they are made in your image, God, and therefore innately valuable, God. And God, that they are endowed, God, with authority and power in you to have dominion, God, over the circumstances of their life, God. That they are above, look, God, they are above the storm, God. And Lord, I just declare life in Jesus' name over every individual and family. And just as we're in this moment, you know, maybe today, and with every head bowed and every eye closed, to give every single person here privacy in a very public place. You know, sometimes you just need that private moment, even if you're in a public setting. And maybe today you know that you have just been under a cloud, or maybe actually your life's going really, really well, but you know that there is something unsettled in your heart. You know that there is a greater meaning and purpose to your life. And even as I was reading from the scriptures today, you're like, yeah, there is something about this. I don't understand it all. I don't understand it all, but I just know that my heart is warming. And I would say today that is the Holy Spirit reaching out to you, drawing you. That is God Himself loving you, drawing you to life. And can I just say, there is no life found in any name other than Jesus Christ. You know, in order for our lives to actually make sense, we have to be reconciled to the Father through Jesus Christ. And we don't do that by working. We don't do that by knowing it all. We actually do that by a simple yes of agreement. Yes, Jesus, I need you. Yes, Jesus, would you be the Lord of my life? Yes, Jesus, would you take over the reins of my life? Can I just say, he's going to change you, absolutely. But he will make you more who you created to be. He'll wash away your sin, give you a brand new clean start, and you will find yourself free to be truly who he's created you to be. So we're going to pray a prayer this morning, because we know that declaration and words enact power. And so we're going to pray. And if this is the first time you've prayed this and you want to pray this, you can pray it from your heart. Believe it. Come into agreement with it in your heart. And God is going to bring about this change instantly, because that's how this works. Let's pray together, church. Dear Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I give you my heart. I come into agreement with you. Make me clean. Wash me anew. Remove my sin. Give me a new start. I give my life to you. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you today and you like believe that for the first time, or it's the first time you prayed that prayer in a long time and there's been distance, this morning, just as a way of saying, yes, I agreed with that in my heart, I've come into new life in Jesus Christ. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. We have people every single week that do this, and it will just be me and one or two other trusted leaders. The reason I ask for this is I want to pray a prayer of blessing over you. I want to ask that Jesus would walk with you, would help you, would bless your life. So if that's you, on the count of three, first time you prayed this prayer or the first time in a long time, I'm going to get you to raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. Would you lift your hand up? Beautiful. Is there others today and you're like, yeah, I need to say yes to Jesus Christ today? Beautiful. I see that hand. Thank you so much. Is there others today and you're like, yeah, I prayed that prayer and I meant it from my heart today for the first time or the first time in a long time? Would you just lift up your hand? I want to pray for you and ask that God would just really seal that today and bless you. Is there anybody else today before I pray for those wonderful people? Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I just declare right now your blessing, God, over every life, Jesus, that has said yes to you today. Lord, I just thank you, God, that you would begin the incredible process of transformation from the inside out. But I just thank you, God, that they have been literally today translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son you love, in whom we have forgiveness of sin. And God, I thank you that you're going to bless them. Lord, would you break every chain that holds them back from walking with you and growing and being transformed. And we thank you for all that you're doing in Jesus' name. And the body of Christ said, amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Jackson.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at horizonchurchsydney.com. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.